Radio Prague News.
Czech diplomats, scientists, and other notable figures have signed an open letter appealing to Great Britain to remain in the European Union. The president's spokesman says he did not overstep his bounds in welcoming an alternative for Germany politician to Prague Castle. And Volkswagen is to launch a car servicing in the Czech Republic this week. Several dozen Czech diplomats, scientists, and other notable figures have signed an open letter written to renowned British playwright with Czech roots Tom Stoppard, appealing to Great Britain to remain within the European Union. In the letter, Czech signatories point to historic and cultural ties between the United Kingdom and the rest of Europe. The letter was the initiative of former Czech ambassador to Great Britain, Michal Žantovský. Brits are to vote on the so-called Brexit on June the 23rd. Jiřího Ptáček, the spokesman for President Miloš Zeman, has said he did not overstep bounds by welcoming the Czech-born Petr Bistroing, the head of the Bavarian branch of the anti-migrant party Alternative for Germany, himself at Prague Castle on Monday. The spokesman explained that President Zeman could not meet with Mr. Bistroing due to limited time. Mr. Ovčáček revealed that during their meeting, Mr. Bistroing expressed support for the Czech president's opposition to the EU's migrant quotas. Opposition politicians, meanwhile, criticized the move as highly unorthodox. Top 09 leader Miroslav Kalousek, for example, suggested that by meeting with a spokesman, the politician was willingly making a fool of himself. Prague State Attorney Dagmar Machová will, as of now, not lead criminal cases following searches last week of her office and others. The police swoops were related to the alleged leak of information about high-profile cases. Three people, including a former police detective from the anti-corruption unit, were charged with abuse of office and taking bribes. In the past, State Attorney Machová was involved in cases such as the Open Card, in which two former Prague mayors are charged. The decision to sideline her from major cases was taken by the Municipal State Attorney's Office, spokeswoman Štěpánka Zenklová confirmed. The Volkswagen Group is to launch the servicing of cars affected by the emission cheating scandal in the Czech Republic this week. In the first phase, this will concern some 60,000 Seat, Audi and Volkswagen vehicles with diesel engines. Škoda cars, of which there are over 100,000 affected, are to come later. The servicing should last for up to an hour and will be free of charge. Although not mandatory, Czech Transport Minister Dan Ťok said the Volkswagen Group should try to get at least 80% of owners of the affected cars to visit service stations and have the vehicles repaired. In the Czech Republic, the affair concerns some 160,000 cars produced between the years 2009 and early 2015. Turning to sport, and in tennis, Tomáš Berdych has sacked trainer Daniel Valverde after almost a year and a half working together, a week before the start of the French Open. Berdych's form has slumped in recent weeks. Most recently, he lost 6-0 against Belgian David Goffin on the ATP Tour in Rome. In other news and football, Arsenal goalkeeper Petr Čech's 16th clean sheet at the weekend means he will at worst tie for this year's Premier League Golden Glove awarded the keeper with the most shutouts. Three other keepers were in the running, Kasper Schmeichel, Joe Hart, David De Gea. Both Schmeichel and Hart conceded goals, however, in their final matches of the season. The final game between Manchester United and Bournemouth was postponed due to a bomb scare at the weekend, so De Gea could still tie for the award. Čech secured the Golden Glove on two previous occasions, in the 2004-05 season and 2013-14. I'm Jan Wellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz. This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, the culture minister attended the annual meeting of the Sudeten German Landsmannschaft at the weekend. That's the first time that's happened. We'll have details. Then, should China be recognized as a market economy? And a little later in the program, we'll take a look at the Czech Republic's chances at Euro 2016 with soccer journalist Michal Petrák. That's all ahead. The annual meeting of the Sudeten German Landsmannschaft in Nuremberg over the weekend is being perceived as a turning point in the reconciliation between Czechs and Sudeten Germans. For the first time ever, the Czech government sent an official representative to the gathering, Culture Minister Daniel Herman, who addressed the assembly as "dear compatriots," expressing regret over the injustices that had broken up long years of fruitful coexistence. Daniela Lazareva reports.
Liebe Landsleute!
Czech Culture Minister Daniel Herman addressed the 3,000-strong gathering in German, and his opening words were drowned in a hearty round of applause. The minister said that the identity of Bohemia, Moravia and Silesia had long been formed by Czechs, Germans, Jews, Romanies and Poles, a fruitful cohabitation broken up by the tragic events of the 20th century. He spoke about the crimes of the Nazi regime as well as the violent acts of revenge committed during the post-war transfer of ethnic Germans from Czechoslovakia, expressing regret over all acts which undermined trust and mutual understanding. Minister Herman said the process of achieving reconciliation had taken too long and it was high time to change this.
If we look at the French-German dialogue and reconciliation, we can see a 40-year delay in our own reconciliation with Germany. A delay that was clearly caused by the communist regime.
Although the two countries signed an agreement on good neighbourly relations and cooperation back in 1992, the process of mending rifts was to take much longer. It was only last year that the Sudeten-German Landsmannschaft dropped from its statutes the intention to strive for financial compensation or the return of property confiscated from the 2.5 million Sudeten Germans driven from post-war Czechoslovakia under the Beneš decrees. This led to a warming in relations and, according to Minister Herman, was instrumental in securing his presence at the gathering. The Prime Minister of Bavaria, Horst Seehofer, asked the Czech government to send a representative to the 67th meeting of the Landsmannschaft, and the idea was supported by all three parties in the Czech government, as well as the main opposition parties, with the exception of the communists. Prime Minister Seehofer on Sunday welcomed the positive shift in relations.
In the peaceful coexistence of people, there is no alternative to dialogue, and that is the road we have chosen.
The head of the Sudeten-German Landsmannschaft, Bernd Bossel, said the presence of a Czech cabinet minister at the gathering was historic and something that the association had striven for since the fall of communism.
At first, we experienced euphoria that relations would quickly normalise. But then, due to mistakes on both sides, there was a long period of drought. And now, in the last few years, we have finally made immense progress.
The operative words at the meeting were those of dialogue and reconciliation, and delegates paid homage to the memory of Bohemian King and Holy Roman Emperor Charles IV, whose 700th birth anniversary the two nations are celebrating together in a powerful reminder of their common roots.
And that was Daniela Lazareva reporting. One of the biggest trade issues to be addressed by the end of this year should be the status of China and whether it should be recognized as a full-fledged functioning market economy. And the Czech Republic appears to be taking a negative stance on the decision, which needs to be taken along with other EU states. Prague's main worry is the impact on jobs in sensitive industrial sectors. Chris Johnston has the details.
China's take on its 15 years in the World Trade Organization is that it should now automatically qualify as a functioning market economy at the end of this year. That conclusion has some doubters, but the European Commission, which negotiates and pilots trade policy on behalf of the 28 member states, nonetheless feels obliged to take a stand on China's status by the end of the year. In practice, China's upgrade to a functioning market economy would mean that the European Union would have much reduced possibilities to protect its own market from Chinese exports of products at prices below manufacturing costs, so-called dumping. At the moment, the EU can slap on special duties and restrict the flow of such goods, but that possibility would largely vanish if market status was awarded. And the Czech Ministry of Industry and Trade has attempted to work out what parts of the local economy would be most vulnerable to unprotected trade with China and put a figure on the job losses that might result. Minister Jan Mládek revealed in a television interview on Sunday what the results of that survey were.
Yes, we have worked on some estimates. We would like also, though, to see what the European Commission has to say about the results for the whole of Europe. In general terms, if China was recognized as a market economy by the end of the year, then around 4,000 to 5,000 jobs would be at risk in the steel and ceramics sectors.
The minister is still waiting for consultations with Czech employers and unions with regard to the negotiations on China's status. While the labour unions are clearly against recognising China as a market economy, the message from Czech companies is very mixed. Those that fear a flood of cheap imports are clearly against the move, but those looking to protect their own export opportunities or business relations with the world's second biggest economy often have other ideas. But Jan Mladek said that Prague can at the moment only take one of two positions at the discussions with EU partners, either oppose market status for China outright or seek some concessions, such as the prolonging of existing anti-dumping duties for at least another 3 to 5 years. The European Commission is expected to decide its negotiating stance in July. Last Thursday, members of the European Parliament overwhelmingly voted against awarding China market economy status. The vote was interpreted as a clear signal which way it wants the Commission to go. Some lawmakers pointed out that 4 out of 5 EU anti-dumping measures are now taken against Chinese goods.
And that was Chris Johnstone. Just a reminder, this is the English Language Service of Czech Radio, where it's now time for all the very latest from the world of Czech sport with Ian Willoughby.
We begin today with ice hockey, and the Czech Republic have been having a very good World Championships, winning their first 5 games in Russia. So it was quite a shock when Vladimír Vujtěk's men suffered their first defeat to the relatively unfancy Danes on Sunday. The Czechs had gone ahead through captain Tomáš Plekanec in the second period, before Denmark forced the draw and went on to win 2-1 after a shootout. Czech forward Michal Žepík hit the post during the shootout. He says he and his teammates only have themselves to blame for the loss.
We didn't convert our chances. They had a few chances, though not clear-cut ones, and scored during a power play. Shootouts are a lottery, and things went their way. The Danes played differently than other teams. They defended in four in the neutral zone, which caused us problems. Though it was difficult and intense, we still created chances. Our mistake was not converting them. Then they punished us.
And the Czech Republic, who lead Group A, will face Switzerland in their final match in the group phase on Tuesday afternoon. After 10 years, Czech international Tomáš Rosický is set to leave Arsenal. The 35-year-old played for just a few minutes for the London club this season before being sidelined by another of the injuries that have blighted his career. However, the midfielder received loud applause when he was given a guard of honour on the pitch at the Emirates Stadium on Sunday and waved goodbye to Arsenal's fans. Meanwhile, there is speculation in the Czech media that Rosický may return to Sparta Prague after 15 years. Sparta boss Zdeněk Šťastný told the news website idnes.cz that the former national team captain might not play every game, but would still be a huge asset to the team. As with other European leagues, the Czech top flight also reached a climax at the weekend, with Viktoria Plzeň crowned champions and Baník Ostrava already relegated. Attention was focused on which club would also face the drop, Sigma Olomouc or Příbram. Despite a 6-0 win over Teplice in their last game of the season, it's the former who will be plying their wares in the second division next term, after Příbram secured the single point they needed in a nil-all draw with Jablonec. Olomouc co-owner Josef Leber has suggested the club was the victim of a refereeing conspiracy and says he may quit the game. Finally, tennis, and the leading Czech men's player Tomáš Berdych has parted company with his Venezuelan coach Dani Valverdu after a 17-month partnership. Monday's announcement came days after Berdych lost 6-love, 6-love to David Goffin in the third round of the Italian Open. And the world number 8 said it had been a reaction to his recent unimpressive form. That's all the sports news for today.
Okay, and thanks there to Ian Willoughby for all the latest in sport. And Ian stays with us for today's one-on-one. Just under a month from now, Euro 2016 will get underway in France. Czechoslovakia won the competition in 1976, but since then the Czechs have failed to lift the trophy. What are their chances this time out? That's a question Ian Willoughby put to football journalist Michal Petrák in this week's One-on-One.
In 4 weeks' time, the Czech Republic will face holders Spain in their opening game at football's 2016 European Championship in France. The Czechs reached the final in the competition in 1996 and the semi-finals 8 years later. But what chances will Pavel Verba's team, notably short on star names, have this time out? I put those questions to journalist Michal Petrák from the Daily Sport. But our conversation first took in the Czech domestic league, specifically why attendances are so low.
I think there are many aspects in this. I think we aren't so obsessed with football like people in some other countries like Italy, Spain, England or Germany. I think the level of stadia is poor, although it has improved magnificently in the last 10 or 20 years. The level of football isn't especially high, although it has improved too in the recent years. I must mention corruption or the perception of corruption. I think the level of corruption or the amount of bribed referees has changed, has lowered. Maybe the way they are corrupt has changed. It's more power than money now. But people perceive football as corrupt here, so I think they don't care as much as they would if they perceived football as a clean sport.
Is it demotivating for you as a sports journalist, as a football journalist, if you sense that a game has been bought?
Of course, because don't forget that, above all, I am a football fan. And it hurts me that the game I love is corrupt or is held hostage by a few individuals who follow their own interests, their own personal interests. And that hurts me, that makes me sad, and of course it frustrates me as a journalist too.
Am I right in thinking that your newspaper Sport campaigns to some degree against corruption in Czech football?
Yes, we are trying to. You know, it's very difficult to obtain proofs, and this goes hand in hand with the level of finances in the media, because I think there isn't any medium that has financial strength to perform a real investigative journalism. So we normal journalists find it very difficult to obtain proofs of wrongdoing without help of, I don't know, private detectives or I don't know who else. And the structure that is in function or that grows through Czech football is very strong and very well organized. It is based on former or current referees, and they are like an army, and they are very hard to penetrate. It's very difficult to break the structure when the clubs or the people that work in football don't want it themselves, because they see some benefit for them too in this state of things. Otherwise, they wouldn't vote for them. They wouldn't vote for those former referees to become heads of regional football associations and so on.
Frankly, as a lifetime fan of football, I find watching the Czech League a little bit difficult. Simply, the standard is low. Is it hard for you to motivate yourself to go to a game, I don't know, between Příbram and Slovácko, or, you know, one of the really average games that might happen on any weekend?
No, I love football, so that's the answer. Yeah, the standard is low. The overall standard isn't anything to write home about, but I think it has improved. In the last 4 or 5 years, the teams at least started to play offensive football, that they want to score goals, they want to beat their opponents instead of not losing the games. You can find stories in the games anyway, like recently the drunken referees in Příbram. On one hand it was hilarious, on the other hand it was tragic how that can happen in a top level football.
If we could talk about Czech international football, in recent decades, the Czechs got to the final of Euro 96, the semi-finals of Euro 2004.
Which they should have won.
And they were robbed by the Greeks, right?
Yep.
Which of those teams, I know they overlapped a little bit, which of those teams was a better team from your perspective?
I think it's hard to compare. It's 8 years between the teams, but still, I think 2004 was the best team that I saw live, like the Czech or Czechoslovak national team, simply because in 1996 their success was from big part an accident. Poborský's goal against Portugal, their draw against France, where I think Djorkaeff hit the crossbar, and it was all series of events that led to the final, but I don't think the Czechs contributed to the series of events by the way they played, as much as we like to think. Whereas in 2004, we played the best football in the tournament. I think the game against the Netherlands in the group stage is unforgettable. I remember myself seeing it, and even when we were 2-0 down, I was convinced that we won't lose because of the way we played. And I think the generation that peaked in 2004, they were the players that started in 1996, like Nedved or Poborský. They were unknowns who peaked in 2004. So that is my logical answer to which of the teams is better. Like 2004, they were at their peak, whereas 1996, they were beginning.
And I guess a couple of the young players from 2004, Vosický and Cech, they will be finished after the Euro 2016 championship, and that also will mark the end of an era.
Yes, sadly, because I don't think the players that come after them have the necessary quality to achieve their level, the level of their teams. Because I think we missed many years in youth football where we didn't really have any plan in developing young players. So there's a big gap, and it has started to improve only recently, so there will be a gap in quality. I think Czech teams can be successful despite of what I said, but they will have to find some other ways to beat their opponents than individual quality, because they individually aren't any good, the players, but they have to play as a team and tactically and disciplined.
If you can look at the likely Czech squad for Euro 2016, what do you think are its strengths and weaknesses?
It's probably what I mentioned before. They are very well organized. They have a great coach in Pavel Vrba who set their tactics and strategy. They can play as a unit. I think that's their main strength. When I compare them to the teams that they're going to meet in the group stage, Turkey, Croatia, Spain, they all have better football players in terms of individual quality. But I think their strength is in playing as a unit.
I was surprised to read that in 19 games under Vrba, they have conceded in every single game, even with Petr Cech in goal for most of those games.
Yes, because Vrba likes to play offensive football. It was the case in Plzeň, and it is the case with the national team. At least one can watch the national team with pleasure. You somehow feel that they run on the pitch and they want to beat their opponents, be it 4-3 or 3-2, whereas before, under Michal Bílek, the team lacked their face. They somehow were like amoebas without any form or shape, and their strength was that they defended as a unit, and then they went forward without any idea how to do it. They played very instinctively, and now you can say that they know what to play and they want to beat their opponents.
Often at European Championships, also at World Cups, some players emerge who haven't been well known previously. Are there any Czech players who you think may make an impact?
It depends on how you define not known. I would say that Vladimír Darida can have a good tournament, but I wouldn't say he's not known, because he has played very well for Hertha Berlin. Or Pavel Kadeřábek, who has played very well for Hoffenheim. He isn't an international star, but I think he can have a good tournament.
How well do you think the Czechs can do in France?
I think with the new format, that with six groups and four best third-placed teams advancing, I think they're going to advance into the round of 16, but it's very difficult to say what can happen afterwards. I think they will lose against Spain. Then I can't say what the result will be against Croatia and Turkey. So I think they might finish second or third in the group, or fourth. But it's difficult to predict what will happen afterwards.
And purely out of my own personal interest, who do you think is going to win the tournament?
My secret choice is France, because I think they've collected an incredible group of players, young, dynamic players. They found their face. And the only condition is that they don't strike or have any revolution against the coach or against anyone, which is pretty French. And in case they do, I think Spain.
And you've been listening to One on One, hosted by Ian Willoughby, and this week his guest was football journalist Michal Petrák. So discussing there the Czech team's chances at Euro 2016 and all of that. If you will be following the championship and want to let us know, please write to english@radio.cz to give us your opinion on the matter. Also, don't forget you'll find many more stories, features and news items at our website in both sound and text. Radio.cz is the address to visit. I'm Jan Wellinger. For all of us here at the station, we want to thank you for joining us this day, and take care.